Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets FX Week Ahead podcast with Derek Halpeny, Head of Research, Global Markets EMEA and International Securities. It's Friday, January 7th, 2022, and in our preview of the week, we're discussing the major themes for the FX financial markets. The following podcast is intended for professional investors and eligible counterparties only, and not for retail clients. Any content should not be regarded as an offer to conduct investment business or an investment recommendation, but for information purposes only. Good afternoon, Derek, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Anna, to you too.
The start of the year has seen some big moves in the US rates market. Should we expect more of this after today's US jobs report?
Yes, well, you know, as I look at my screen, Una, the 10-year US Treasury yield has moved up to 178. That's the highest since before the pandemic struck. So some notable levels being hit today in the US rates market. And that comes after the jobs report. Like always, the jobs report is a bit of a mixed bag. Certainly, the overall print was very, very disappointing at 199,000. But and even when you include the revisions to previous months, it was 430,000. But of course, we had the ADP employment on Wednesday, which was up 807,000. So the markets were braced for something significantly higher, and it didn't materialize, obviously. But it's going to be difficult to shake the markets out of its current kind of momentum, which of course has been fueled by the FOMC minutes, which came out this week and were considerably more hawkish than the markets were expecting. And suddenly, you know, the markets now, based on comments from the Fed in the minutes, you know, we're nearly positioned for 4 rate hikes this year, 90 basis points by the end of the year. March is now nearly fully priced. And then on top of that, based on the FOMC minutes, we also have the idea of the balance sheets being shrunk before the end of this year with quantitative tightening. So a lot for the markets to deal with. And then we've had this weaker print on payrolls, but you know, the markets have delved into the reports and they've seen enough within that report to justify the Fed's hawkishness. So for example, the unemployment rate dropped to 3.9%. The market was expecting 4.1. That's 3.9%. That's the lowest, again, since just before the pandemic struck. The average hourly earnings month-on-month increase was 0.6%. That's above what the market was expecting. And then the household employment survey showed a 651,000 increase in jobs. And that was after a 1.1 million increase in November. So those kind of aspects of the report, in particular, I think that the wage component, because again, in the FOMC minutes this week, several FOMC participants were of the view that the labor market was already at maximum employment. And there were references made to concerns over the accelerating rate of wage inflation. And the ECI, the Employment Cost Index, certainly showed that. And this stronger average hourly earnings print today just reinforces those risks that the lack of participation in the labor market, we can conclude, obviously, still because of the pandemic, although, you know, in today's report, Omicron hadn't really arrived yet in the US, so that's why the markets were expecting something bigger. But nonetheless, you know, there's certainly a constraint in terms of supply into the labor market. And the longer that goes on, the more upward pressure you have on wages and the more the Fed may need to do. And I think that's the takeaway from today. While we had a weaker print, the market is still willing to go at what the Fed are concerned about. They see enough in this report to justify that. And that's resulted in, as I said, the rates market moving to levels we haven't seen since before the pandemic. Now, in FX world, it's a little bit, I guess, more confusing. And, you know, we've been, myself and my colleagues have been looking at our screens, and, you know, the dollar is certainly not strengthening. Euro is up 0.4%. Dollar's coming back a little bit now as I speak, but, you know, clearly there isn't any kind of follow through in the FX markets in terms of dollar strength. And, you know, I think this could be short-term positioning. You know, maybe the markets were positioned for a bigger overall print, and certain market participants weren't convinced. And, you know, we've seen some liquidation of kind of short-term dollar long positions. But despite today, you know, we would still expect the broader momentum to be still for higher rates, as I said, and for that to ultimately filter through into dollar strength. So yeah, I would expect us to see that over the coming weeks.
MUFG Research has just released the annual FX outlook. Can you run through some of the key highlights for our listeners, please?
Yes, in the January edition, we always kind of add in some themes of the year, you know, kind of different aspects we think will run through the year and be very important for financial markets and for FX. I'm not going to go through all of those. We have a video coming out next week, which will highlight those themes in more details. But in terms of the forecasts, which we've put out as well, it's really a story of two halves, if you like, with dollar strength continuing in the first half of the year and then reversing in the second half of the year. And that kind of momentum in the first half of the year is really following on from last year. And all of the US dollar strength in 2021 pretty much came from June onwards. You know, we had a 6.5% increase in DXY. And that strength in the second half of last year was very much linked to FOMC meetings, in particular June, September, and December. And the hawkishness that we saw at those meetings encouraging the market into pricing in more rate hike action in 2022. Now, based on, of course, the dollar not strengthening today, there may be some concluding already that we're fully priced for the action that will come. And I do admit that the market is quite rich in terms of what's priced for this year. But I think if the US economy picks up a bit from here and we get better employment growth, for example, in the coming months, with wages still high and with the supply constraints globally perhaps lasting a little bit longer because of Omicron, it's still really only just hitting Asia now as we speak. That means the inflation story could remain more elevated for longer. And that means then that there's more potentially still to be priced in terms of what the markets think the Fed might end up having to do. And for example, you know, the terminal Fed funds rate is still really only at about 175, 180. It's kind of drifting up now, but it's between 1.75% and 2%. And that's the peak Fed funds. And really, we think over the coming months, if the economy picks up, we could see that kind of nudge and drift a bit higher. And that could be the catalyst for some further US dollar strength. Also, you know, other markets, we could start to see inflation coming down a little bit more quickly. And also in certain countries, you know, the inflation picture is just not as problematic, and therefore the central bank approach is going to be somewhat different than the Fed. And therefore that allows for some more divergence over the coming months with the markets very much focused on the Fed. But then in the second half of the year, assuming that all unfolds, then we do think we will reach a point when the markets will be quite rich in terms of what the Fed does. And then with evidence of inflation starting to come down, maybe the Fed will be able to pull back a little bit in terms of the extent of rate increases that are undertaken in the second half of the year. And then that allows for some of the pricing to be reversed out of the rates market. And that prompts the catalyst for the US dollar to weaken back a little bit. So dollar strength, certainly over the coming months, you know, we've got euro dollar tracking down to 110. It certainly could test and breach there. Dollar yen moving higher, and basically most of G10 weakening versus the US dollar through the first quarter, stabilizing in Q2 and then starting to reverse in Q3 and Q4. So that's the overall kind of basis for the forecasts that we've published today.
And finally, Derek, do you have any specific trade ideas as this year gets underway?
Yeah, we didn't publish an FX weekly today. As I just mentioned, we've just published the annual report today. So our first FX weekly will be next Friday, when we will commence with some trade ideas. Looking at the markets now, and based on what I've just said, and with the rates market moving the way it is, we're still convinced the dollar has more to go to the upside, and the line of least resistance might be in terms of dollar yen. And it was the worst performing currency in 2021. The yen weakened by just over 10%. So the worst in the G10 space. But again, we still think there's a little bit more to go. And we do have an important kind of long-term trend line resistance coming in at around the 117 level that takes in highs in dollar yen from 1990 and 2015. So it's a pretty important long-term resistance. And we do think there's a good chance we're going to breach that. And that could prompt a flurry of renewed dollar yen buying with the 120 quickly coming into focus. We do think it'll be, if we do break that resistance, it'll be the kind of last flurry of yen selling. We'd be at very undervalued yen levels if we do break 117. Well, we're already at undervalued levels, but even more so if we move up towards the 120 level. So I think that will be the catalyst for a reversal back lower. Important in all of that for dollar yen is, of course, the performance of risk in general and volatility and performance of equity markets. And again, later in the year, there is a chance, given all of the actions from the Fed and what will be priced, certainly financial market conditions will be getting tighter as the year unfolds, which should mean increased volatility and more difficult, challenging conditions for equity markets more generally. You know, we've had a 24% annual increase on average for the S&P 500 over the last 3 years. That's the best performance over a three-year period since 1999. And of course, that was in large part the kind of fueling of the IT bubble, which then burst in 2000. Of course, we're not expecting a kind of an asset crash like we had in 2000, but ultimately, that kind of performance over the last 3 years does suggest that, you know, we could be in for more challenging times this year. And if equity market volatility does pick up later in the year, then, you know, again, that's a possible catalyst, along with US yields falling, for dollar yen to drop back again. But over the short term, still think there's upside in dollar yen to go.
Great. Thanks very much for sharing your insight, Derek. Have a great week, and we'll speak to you next week.
Thanks, Una, and you.
Thank you for listening to this MUFG Global Markets podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe, and reach out to your MUFG sales rep for more information. Come back next week for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.